Hey there, everybody. James Hilliard here, your host for this Meet the Expert episode of Connection Point, where today we are talking with Brian Conway. Brian is an HP networking business development specialist with the PC Connection family of companies. Brian's certifications include HP Networking ASP and ASC Certified. He has been advising customers on networking solutions for more than 8 years, so he's the right guy to be with us today to delve into some of the challenges around delivering network access and connectivity. And Brian, appreciate the time today.
Thanks, James.
Want to start with kind of a bird's eye view, your view, of how the demands on the network have really been evolving over the past several years, 2 to 3 years.
Sure, James. What I've seen mostly is the fact that it's becoming more on the business side of things. All the CIOs, they want to know what the business application is going to be if they upgrade their network. So, you know, how is it going to save them money? How is it going to save them time? And how is it going to, you know, increase their bottom line?
Absolutely. I get a chance to talk to a lot of CIOs, and I've been hearing, I think, a similar trend in ideas there. In terms of technology demands, I work on a lot of video work. I know that has been a growing demand on the network. What other tech demands have you been seeing?
Well, obviously, video is a proponent to that, but I think that there's a lot more going over the network than just data. You know, like you just, you know, hit the nail on the head with video. It used to be just, hey, I'm going to send an email across the network, and it's going to get there, and no one would really notice a lag of 1 or 2 seconds. But when it comes to video and also, you know, you have voice over IP, those have to be very quick. There can't be any lag at all because the receiver on the other end will instantly notice it, and it won't work. It basically, you won't be able to get your message across.
There's so much focus these days, too, on collaboration, screen sharing technologies, things like that. And yeah, you don't, well, sorry, screen froze. Hold on a second. I mean, that's something that as end users, we just will not tolerate now when we're trying to do our business and collaborate. And I know that's a demand there. Let's talk about another trend. It's the big buzzword out there. It's something a lot of people are focusing on and evaluating. And that's cloud computing. What additional demands have you seen, you know, the cloud put on the enterprise network?
Well, the cloud has its own set of, I guess, security risks because your data is being backed up or whatever you're putting out into the cloud, you're not physically sitting in that location. So you're trusting that it's going to the right place, and you're also trusting that you're going to be able to access it any time. So with cloud computing comes things like having you know, fail safes and backups and you know, disaster recovery type things that need to be installed into your network. I think with cloud computing, it's a whole new, I guess, you know, risk as far as being able to access your data. And everybody these days is using the cloud. I mean, you know, you buy a device and every single manufacturer has its own cloud, you know, service where you can have 50 gigs out in you know, cyberspace that you can access at any time. So, you know, the network has to be faster because it has to go over, you know, a internet connection, and it also has to be available at all times. So you're going to have people working around the clock to make sure nothing goes down at a mission critical time.
In conversations, Brian, I've had with folks about cloud, it's been very clear that the consumers, you and I, we get the idea, all these areas where we can share these online boxes and files and everything, we very quickly came to expect that and want that, though it has seemed that IT has been doing a little bit of catch-up there, that, wait, we've got all these folks using these services, some we've authorized, some we haven't. We need to make sure that they can access them. Is that your view, too, that there's been a little bit of a catch-up game when some people have been using these cloud services?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the demand is there and the technology is there, but who's going to manage it? You know, you don't go to school for, you know, cloud computing 101. It's something that's new to everybody. And it's new to us, but it's in our favor because we have so much more storage and ways to access things from anywhere. But it's kind of a nightmare for an IT person because they got to figure out how to manage it and make it work so that people can, you know, get that instant access and things like that.
Well, you bring up instant access. We've already kind of started talking a little bit about end users. We have these big expectations these days. And ultimately, the job of a network and of IT supporting that network is to make sure that there's a high quality of service. And it's servicing the sales department, the end users, the marketing team, the C-class. There are a lot of people that need to have all of these services delivered. And again, we users are pretty darn demanding. That's got to be one of the biggest challenges that you hear too when you're talking to IT folks, is that users want so much, so much, so much. We're trying to keep pace, but it can be difficult.
Sure, sure. And I think some of that's due to the fact that everything just keeps getting faster and newer, quicker than it ever has before. You know, the life cycles of programs and products and hardware is basically obsolete within 6 months. So everybody wants the latest and greatest, and they want it now. This is an instant gratification market now. You know, people will upgrade in just to have the new thing, just to say they have it. And most of the time, the people that are trying to install it, they don't even know how to install it yet, because the programmers or the people on the back end who are designing this stuff haven't even really finished designing it before it's come out. That's one of the struggles. And the other struggle is basically everything is done over the web. So it's a constant 24/7, management that you need to have. And you need to have line of sight to just about everything on your network, or else there's going to be a bottleneck and you're not going to know where it is, and it's going to affect somebody's workflow and their productivity and ultimately their bottom line, and we just can't have that.
And I can remember back, Brian, and again, this isn't going back many years at all, but, you know, IT used to kind of work sort of 9 to 5. All right, a little bit earlier for some of the early birds and a little bit later for the execs. But I can remember a couple of places I worked, the IT guys would get together come 5:36 and they play all their role-playing games down in the dungeon and do all their stuff because, hey, no one's on the network anymore. But because of wireless and our constant on the go now and the tablets and the phones and all this type of stuff, it really is that IT is on call 24 hours a day. That's a big demand on the network and on IT. So let's do this. Let's shift gears a little bit here, Brian. We've touched on obviously some of the demands on the network and IT and the challenges. So what are some of the major, maybe the top two obstacles that you see that IT departments are saying they need to overcome so that they're no longer playing this catch up and feel like they're behind, but that they can be a little more proactive?
Sure. There's a couple different things I think that are very important. One being line of sight, or being able to see everything on your network. More often than not, I talk to an IT person and sometimes they'll say, well, I don't really know exactly what's in my network. I don't really know exactly how fast it is. And that's where really the problems start to happen, because once they start adding you new users and new hardware, you know, they really don't know where the bottleneck's coming. They can't see it. It's a bunch of different devices that are plugged into one another, and it becomes just, you know, somewhere there's a bottleneck. But since none of the devices really talk to each other in that sort of sense, they become, you know, they work against each other instead of with each other. So I think that's one huge thing. The other huge thing is, you know, people want to work a 9-to-5, and nothing can get done sometimes because people are on the network all the time. So they have to find ways to run updates and change out hardware while the network is still running. There can't be any hiccup, basically, in, you know, the workflow of the day for the end user.
And I know, Brian, according to, you know, kind of reports out there from the major consultancy firms and things like that, a lot of IT budgets, we can see upwards of 70% of money really spent on just kind of keeping the day-to-day operations going, 30% of their budget or so. That's what they have left to innovate or find improvements or be able to go back to departments and say, great, fine, you got all these cool new tablets and phones. Now let's share with you some new apps, some new ways that you can use these tools to be better productive, not just to say, hey, I've got the latest one, but actually becomes now a business thing. That's what I think back to your earlier comments, the CIOs, they want to make sure there's a business thing. So fine, we'll buy these tablets, but they better be helping us improve. And I think that that's probably a challenge and probably something a lot of IT folks, at least the ones I talk to, they get frustrated of just doing the maintenance stuff. They want to innovate. They want to be creative. They want to bring more to the business.
Sure. You bring up another great point about the budget, and I hear that a lot. You know, we just don't have the budget, or, you know, we can't afford to buy something and have it not work. You know, maybe 10 years ago, there wasn't as many devices, and they all, you know, if something didn't work, it wasn't a huge deal because there was this big budget that sat there to buy hardware. you know, and they could buy all this hardware, and now it's more on the software side. Hey, is this plumbing going to work with the rest of everything else? You know, is it going to work with the sink, basically? So there's no room for trial and error because they really can't afford to do that, especially in a market like today where, you know, budgets are constrained and they're trying to find new ways to I guess, you know, trim the fat, if you will. There's no room for error. So they have to know that it's going to work right away, and they can't put in their network if it's not. So, you know, you bring up a good point there, and I think that's really what companies out there, you know, like HP are putting a lot of money into R&D and research to not only sell their hardware, but also have, you know, management on the back end.
Hey, Brian, let's do this. Let's you bring up HP. Let's dive into some of the offerings that HP networking has for organizations, especially those orgs that are needing to upgrade their enterprise network environment, again, to handle what we've been talking about so far, the diverse applications, the demands that are being placed on the network. So what are a couple of the top solutions that HP networking offers?
HP Networking, I believe 2 or 3 years ago, acquired a company called 3Com. 3Com was a networking company. They were a pretty big player in the industry. And one of those things that came along with that acquisition was a product called IMC, which is Intelligent Management Center. And really what that does in a nutshell is it allows you to manage everything on your network from one single pane of glass. It is a pretty intuitive product, but it's also very user-friendly. So that, in turn, can manage all of your devices and show them to you on one screen and what's working, what's not, where the bottleneck is, and it'll help you manage everything. And I think that's very important to IT people where they're not as staffed as they should be and they need to have line of sight to these sort of things. It can save them a significant amount of money because, you know, full-time IT administrator, I don't know what the going rate is for one, but I can assure you it's a lot more than what they'd pay for something like IMC.
No, absolutely. And I think it goes back to the idea of being able to see what is going on. That's something you said, and I hear it often as well. IT at times, we just feel blind. We don't know exactly. We're trying to keep pace. We just don't have those tools that help us do that. And it sounds like IMC is something. What's the feedback you've heard from folks that have been using it? Has it given them that insight that they've been craving?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, you can go online and do demos yourself. It's definitely a very, very good product. And a lot of customers that I speak to kind of touch on another point, to go back to kind of the plumbing is, you know, they call me and you know, obviously price is a concern and things like that. And they say, you know, why is one manufacturer or why is HP sometimes more expensive than the competition? What do they do differently? Well, you know, a good point to bring up to them is they do it differently, and this is how. If you go to buy a $1 million house, you never go in and look at the copper pipes, right? You go in and you look at the nice kitchen and the nice bathroom. Well, that's where all the money is put into those types of things. If you look at a networking switch, you look at one side by side, it might be a different color, but basically the ports all look the same. So HP puts all their money into their research and development to make it work better, to you know, design the products and the software to work with everybody else and themselves. So maybe sometimes the monetary cost is a little bit more, but the value is so much greater, and you save yourself so much money in the long run. So really, it becomes the ROI that you're looking for, not the, you know, the cheapest thing that looks good on paper.
Gotcha, Brian. Let's do this before we let you run. Obviously, there are a lot of folks that are listening. They're saying, hey, our network does need attention. Last couple of years, we've been trying to keep pace, but budgets have been tight. We're coming out of the recession. So they're maybe finding a little bit of budget money and ideas to give attention to that network. What's one or two tips that you can give them that's going to help them know that they can get their project started on the right foot, they can set a good foundation to move forward and get that network to where it needs to be to handle all the demands as we've laid out today?
I'll touch back on IMC because I think it's such a great product. And as everybody knows, no one today really has all the same networking equipment in their network. It's mixed amongst different vendors. So HP realized that and designed this product so that it'll work with everybody. And I think that's a great product for, you know, the future. And that's what everybody's got to think, because things are going to evolve. They're going to introduce new devices into their network, and IMC is always introducing new devices that it supports. I believe it's somewhere around 3,000 devices right now and growing. So they can be confident in a product like that to manage their network, because it's not just going to, you know, evolve for HP. It's going to evolve for other manufacturers that, you know, maybe HP doesn't cover certain things, but they need this device. IMC is going to be able to manage that for them. And I guess the other tip would be always future-proof your network. You know, I talk to a lot of people, and they say, I just want to put some stuff out on the edge, and then I want to put some stuff in the core, and I just want to get, you know, as least expensive as possible, but as long as it works. Well, here's the thing. A lot of times I tell people to keep in mind that their core of their network is going to soon be their edge. So make sure that that core network, you'll be able to reposition it out to the edge rather than do some kind of rip and replace and change everything all at once. That really, that doesn't help anybody. That just creates a whole new, I guess, network when there really doesn't need to be one. Just make sure that when you buy something for your network, that it can be repositioned at another time.
Yeah, it's a good tip, and that's where we're going to leave it, Brian. Really appreciate the conversation today.
Thank you, James. I do as well.
And as we wrap things up, I want to let you all know in the listening audience here, if you would like to learn more about HP networking products and services that can help get your network upgrade off to a good start, you can turn to the PC Connection family of companies. First off, just contact your account management team, and you can learn more about beginning your next IT project with an assessment and engaging their on-staff experts. If you do not have a team in place, here's where you can get more information. PCConnection.com is the place to go online. The phone number, 1-800-800-0014. And if you would like to email, you can drop us a note at connect@pcconnection.com. I'm James Hilliard, and that's going to wrap up this installment of Connection Point.